Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Thanks for being here for the second hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are rolling along here, Buck in New York City, Clay in Nashville, Tennessee, and all of you across the country. And in some cases, if you listen to the podcast all over the world, remember you can go to clayandbuck.com to read stories about what we're talking about here, and you can always listen to the podcast on demand. The iHeart app is a great place to go, but wherever you listen to podcasts, the Clay and Buck Show, let's keep us in or near the top 10 for all podcasts. Thank you. And in the meantime, yes, right. In the meantime, we've got something that I think, I'll start with this question for you. What is the most terrifying government agency to you? Now, it could be these days you would say HHS and the CDC. Fair enough. But what certainly is high up on the list of government bodies that can make your life miserable? Well, there's, of course, the DOJ. If you fall in the crosshairs of the federal government, they have endless resources with which to go after you. They get paid whether you're guilty or not. They can ruin you merely with the investigation. And where do you go to get your reputation back? Where do you go to get the money back that you'll use? You'll probably go bankrupt defending yourself against the federal government. So when they are politicized at the DOJ and going after people, that's very concerning. Maybe we'll come back to how Merrick Garland, the attorney general, put out a statement yesterday from the DOJ about concerns over parents saying, they say threats, but I'm going to tell you right now, probably just mean things to teachers. This is now a DOJ. You know, the FBI may be showing up on your front step saying, did you call the teachers unions a bunch of lazy thugs who don't care about kids? And yes, I probably did say all those things. But the FBI may be showing up on your front steps to ask you that question sometime soon. But the IRS, I think for a lot of people, if you've ever had any interaction with them, probably the most terrifying government body that you'd be dealing with on a regular basis, because they're incentivized to harass you and to make an example of you. And we know the Democrats have weaponized them in the past. I'm bringing this up because there's a $70 billion additional funding request in this reconciliation bill that is stalled but not over. They're going to pass something, folks. It's just a question whether it's $2 trillion. What Clay and I said to you last week is true. They're going to pass both an infrastructure and a reconciliation bill. They're just haggling over the price right now. That's all this is, trying to get their little piece of it done. But $70 billion for the IRS and also unrestricted access to all accounts with $600 in them or $600 of total transactions in a year. And that's not with a warrant or anything else. They just have access to your bank accounts. Clay, when I hear they're going to be hiring thousands of additional IRS agents, they're going to be giving them basically open season on any bank account with $600 or more. No one thinks that makes you a millionaire or a billionaire. It's not a lot of money. And then on top of it, the socialist rhetoric and the massive spending demands and the claim that there's going to be zero cost attached to this, that the rich will pay for it. To me, this is like unleashing the hounds of the IRS on the American people in a way that should be really concerning. I think this should worry people.
I think 100% it should worry people. And let's talk about a couple of reasons why. First of all, we know that the IRS under Barack Obama was targeting for investigations conservative groups. So we have already proven in recent history, it's not like it was that long ago, that the IRS will use power that it is given in order to focus on groups that have a differing political agenda than certainly liberals in positions of power. So, and by the way, it could be in the future that there is a conservative president who decides to go after liberal groups. I don't think either one of those are right, and I am highly skeptical of the government having access to more of our information, period, regardless of your politics. But we know specifically that Democrats have abused that power in recent history to investigate conservatives based specifically on their political beliefs. So why do we believe that wouldn't happen again? I have zero faith in the government to evenly apply this standard to all people. Okay, so let's start there. Second part of this. Buck, they are selling a false bill of goods to justify this funding growth. And let me explain what they're saying. They are effectively looking at the revenue that the IRS spends now and the revenue that the IRS generates by investigating tax returns and saying, hey, right now, for every dollar we spend, we get back $5, okay, in return. And let me just pause here for a moment because I have some pretty good experience from a business perspective with the fact that that doesn't continue forever. And let me explain an example. So anybody out there who has ever bought advertising knows that what you look at is the return that you get on the money that you spend. And by the way, if you're listening to this and right now you have a big business or a small business or any business at all, you should be advertising on this show because you get a great return on your investment, all right? But if you spend, let's say, like, I'll give you an example, Buck. Do you know what Bud Light used to spend? I know because they would spend some money with me. In sports advertising alone, their budget was $750 million. If you've ever been to a sporting event and Bud Light is the official beer of insert team here, you see their placards everywhere. Bud Light looked at the revenue that they generated based on the money that they spend, and they said $750 million is what we should spend in the world of sports. Bud Light looks at that and says, hey, this is the sweet spot for us on expense versus revenue. If they spent $7.5 billion on advertising, they wouldn't get the same return. In other words, as you spend money, your return diminishes. And what they are doing right now is engaging in magical accounting, Buck, because they're saying if we drastically increase what we spend on IRS investigations, our yield is going to remain the same. That doesn't fit business reality. So they are selling
this,
a lie.
You're approaching this, though, from the perspective of somebody who would actually care what the return on investment is in
yes,
the dollars and cents.
Because I have a business background in some way.
But the Democrats don't. This is the problem here is that they're lying to people, and you're right about your math and the way that they're going. But really what this is allows for a massive expansion of the government wing that is most capable
yes,
of targeted harassment of individuals. Of course, it's not going to pay for itself, but they know that. This is about creating thousands and thousands more IRS agents who are going to be part of the bureaucracy. By the way, they're going to be Democrats overwhelmingly. They're going to be people that believe yes, in the party of this state and want to support the Democrats. What? People think that it's just the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Education, the State Department that are overrun with leftist ideologues. Are you kidding me? I mean, the Department of the, or, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency. Plenty of these places have leftists and statists running around who have an ideological agenda. Lois Lerner, you mentioned at the IRS. Yeah, a big shock, Clay, a big surprise to all of us, right? That in the election year of Barack Obama, re-election 2012, after the Tea Party shellacked Democrats in 2010, all of a sudden, all these Tea Party groups aren't getting their charter approved by, you know, or their tax exempt status approved, aren't getting or are getting audited. I mean, the amount of groups that they suppressed, we don't know what effect that actually could have on the election. We never will. But they're doing this $70 billion for additional IRS funding. And the part of it that drives me so insane is, one, there'll be politicized targeting, which I think we both know and agree on. And two, Nancy Pelosi, the millionaires and the billionaires, you know, as Bernie would say, they don't suffer as a result of IRS. They've got accountants that'll take care of this. They've got lawyers, and they have all the resources to fight it. And the loopholes that do exist in our 70,000-plus page tax code will be abused by and continue to be abused by the very rich. What they're doing is often not illegal. It's just gross, right? There are carve-outs and tax shelters that they have access to. What actually ends up happening is a small business owner who's listening to this, you know, maybe you're somehow getting audited, and now you owe 50 grand that you just don't have.
And you don't have the money to fight it. And that's frustrating thing, right? Like, if you are a billionaire or you're a 100 millionaire, as much as you may not like to do it, you can afford to pay for the lawyers and the accountants that are necessary to go head to head with the IRS. And both of these logic basis are incredibly flawed. And I think they're relatively easy to explain. You're not going to get the same yield on the dollars. So when you're trying to say, hey, if we spend $80 billion, we're going to get back $300 billion or whatever it is in unpaid taxes, the more you spend, the less the yield becomes. That is an economic reality. I understand that lots of people in the Democratic Party don't understand economic reality, but that's the truth I'm here to tell you. And then the other part is we know it's going to be used, the money, to focus on conservatives or people basically outside the realm of acceptable, and I put that in quotation marks, opinion in this modern era, because the Democrats have already done it before. So the Republicans, to me, should be fighting this in a big way, and they shouldn't be fighting it on the battleground that the Democrats want to fight. They should be fighting it by making those two arguments, because I think they're particularly powerful and perceptive, and I think most reasonable people understand it.
I also want to tell some folks about who a senior Office of the Comptroller of the Currency pick. I know that sounds boring, but it's an office that oversees important banking policy for the U.S. government and the Treasury Department, and who they want to put in charge of this. It's a 3,500-person office. Somebody who not only comes from the Soviet Union, which is fine, a lot of patriots actually come to America legally from the former Soviet Union and understand how important and precious freedom is because of the tyranny they left. But this is a person, Clay, who still has some fondness for the old Soviet system and compares
Bernie?
The U.S. to it.
Did he go on honeymoon to Moscow like Bernie?
Pretty much. There's some weird stuff. So I want to address that. Her name is Saleh Omarova. Janet Yellen's coming to her defense. But when you find out the kind of people that are in the senior ranks of finance, banking, regulatory policy of the Biden administration, you have people that are either true elitists who just want to make sure that nobody, they want to pull the ladder up after themselves, make sure nobody else has a shot to grow real wealth and assets. Or you've got people that are kind of stealth commies, but we can come back to this in a few minutes. We've also got Andy Biggs, congressman from Arizona, to join us here in just a few minutes to talk about the border surge that's expected, which it's supposed to be the biggest border surge perhaps ever. Hundreds of thousands this month, between 200,000 and 400,000, Claire, the estimates. So we'll come up and talk about the U.S.-Mexico border in a few minutes. Last night, you know what I got to do? Put my Giza Dream sheets on the bed. They're amazing. The best sheets I've ever owned. And Mike Lindell's MyPillow is an incredible company, because when you try these products, whether it's the towel sets, the slippers, the robes, the mattress topper, you realize this is what you want to have on every bed in your home. This is what's going to help you get the best sleep you've ever had. And there's a reason why MyPillow is the incredible company it is. Let me just start with the Giza Dream sheets. They're made from the world's best cotton. They're so soft and breathable. I just put a fresh pair. I've got three. I just keep changing them out of my bed. Fresh pair on my bed last night. They're very durable, Clay, and have a luxurious finish.
I miss them. When I am not in my home bed, when I'm on the road, which happens a lot right now this time of year, the Dream Sheets are absolutely phenomenal. And right now you can buy one, get one free with the promo code Clay and Buck. All MyPillow products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You can go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets. Buy one, get one free with code Clay and Buck. And again, while you're there, check out the towel sets, the slippers, the robes, the mattress toppers, the Giza Dream Sheets, many more products there. But an incredible offer you get is a buy one, get one free with code Clay and Buck. We got them all throughout the house, on my bed, on the kids' beds. You should have them on your beds as well. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials. And again, buy one, get one free with the code Clay and Buck. You can also call 800-792-3269. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We're going to be joined at the bottom of this hour in about, 10 minutes from now with Representative Andy Biggs from Arizona to talk about the crisis at the border and what needs to be done in order for that not to be a crisis. But we're talking now about a story that's probably not going to get that much attention. And that is this massive funding increase that is being demanded for the IRS, ostensibly to lead to more revenue through more investigations on behalf of the IRS. And two big issues here. One, the IRS has been proven to be politically focused in terms of who it focuses on, which is a monstrous deal when you look at the power that the IRS wields and who they decide to investigate and who they don't decide to investigate. Second part of this, the revenue that they are likely to produce is going to be far less than they project because it's the law of diminishing returns. As you spend more money doing something, the value of that declines. Anybody who has ever run a business knows it. Otherwise, you could spend all of your money on advertising and your revenue would continue to grow forever. That doesn't happen. At some point, you get the law of diminishing returns, and that, I believe, would happen very quickly with the IRS. But, Buck, you teased as we went to break a fairly significant factor here, which is that many of the people who would be involved in this issue are likely to be incredibly politically biased, including people in high positions of authority, like the person you just teased.
Yeah, I mean, there's Janet Yellen, for example, who is herself, of course, a multimillionaire and an elitist. And she is supporting, as Treasury Secretary, is supporting the candidacy of Soleil Omarova. This is from the Daily Mail today, for the office of the comptroller of the currency. Now, you might say, yeah, who cares? That is an agency within U.S. Treasury. It's a 3,500-person office that sets bank policies dealing with mergers, acquisitions, and expanding digital trade. Pretty big things. Now, Omarova graduated from Moscow State University in 1989. She went there on a scholarship named after Vladimir Lenin, which is interesting. But, of course, she grew up in the Soviet Union. Like I said, there are so many great immigrants to America who come from the former Soviet Union. But they hate the economic policies of the former Soviet Union, which is why they came here. Ms. Omarova, on the other hand, tweeted in 2019, Clay, "Until I came to the U.S., I couldn't imagine that things like the gender pay gap still existed in today's world. Say what you will about the USSR, there was no gender pay gap."
Yeah. Nobody really got paid.
Right. Yeah. There was no pay gap because there was really no pay. But this is somebody who would have a very senior role in a large agency of the Treasury Department. She also has called for radically reshaping the basic architecture and dynamics of modern finance. That's a quote, including nationalizing retail banking and having the Federal Reserve directly allocate credit to individuals, and wants to, quote, end banking as we know it, end quote. Oh, yeah. Let's put this person in charge of a major agency of the Treasury Department, Clay.
Seems like kind of a big flaw there. This reminds me of how people in Cuba, when or socialists here in the United States, when they try to defend Cuba, they talk about how everybody's so equal. Yeah, they're all equally in having nothing, right? And this is why so many people who have fled socialist regimes, particularly in South America, and come to America, have turned so fervently in favor of the Republican Party and capitalism. Buck, what you got for us?
My family has pictures and pictures and more. Mom and Dad were not shy about making sure we had pictures of our youth. And now that we're all adults, that's a lot of photos to contend with. You want to have those big binders, the books full of all these photos? Look, do what I did. I digitized them. I digitally transferred them onto the cloud so they're preserved for all time and so easy to access. I can text my family childhood photos to family members, to friends, anybody I want, thanks to Legacy Box. That's the company that did this for me. LegacyBox.com is their website. Go check it out now. They've done this for more than a million families, taking old photos, VHS tapes, you name it. Old media transferred to new media. It's so safe and secure. It's amazing. Legacy Box is offering 40% off at LegacyBox.com/buck. That's right. Go to LegacyBox.com/buck to take advantage of this offer for 40% off today. LegacyBox.com/buck. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. We will talk to you in a little bit about the Facebook so-called whistleblower, who increasingly seems to me like a Democrat activist who's hoping to get left-wing legislation passed, if possible, to allow for even greater censorship of conservatives online while throwing in some stuff about how it's all about protecting the children. Really? January 6th somehow also comes up in the conversation, but it's about protecting the children, sure. We'll discuss what's really happening there with the five-hour outage yesterday of Facebook and Instagram. Obviously, Facebook owns Instagram, and there were some people who were completely freaked out. What am I going to do if I can't post selfies? It's a fair question. Read a book. Go take a walk. Spend time with family. But we have a border crisis still unfolding, and just wait until you see the numbers this month. Some are expecting it could be the highest ever in 1 month? I mean, that is a realistic possibility right now. And you're looking at 15 to 60,000 Haitian migrants or migrants of Haitian origin making their way up from South America to the U.S.-Mexico border as we speak. We have Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona with us now, border state, of course. Talk to us about what's going on here. Congressman, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
Tell us, what are you expecting? I mean, I'm seeing that the border governors and some folks along the border, Border Patrol certainly, feel like they're about to get inundated with illegal crossing, perhaps more than ever before in the Biden administration, maybe all-time high.
Yeah, this will no doubt be an all-time high because of the way we count now. But what we're facing, and this is important to understand, you see a group of about 60,000. This is a mass migration of about 60,000 folks of Haitian origin who are living in South and Central America are coming up. They're organized somehow. This is not organic. Somebody's bringing them here. At the same time, though, and this is what's critical, is don't forget that you're getting somewhere just between 9 and 10,000 people a day, every day, coming across the entire southern border from McAllen to San Diego. That's what's happening on a daily basis. That has already got the Border Patrol in many areas, whether it's Tucson, Yuma, Rio Grande, Del Rio. They're being overrun right now with just this higher than average number. But now what you're going to have is you're going to see the 60,000, and that's just in one migratory group. There'll be additional groups that come because this administration has put out the welcome sign for the whole world.
Representative Biggs, appreciate you coming on with us. This is Clay. I asked the question. I still think it's a good one. Would things change if some of the news channels put a daily ticker with illegal immigrants coming into the country like they have with COVID for the last 18 months? And we actually saw, because you can say, hey, there's X number of people coming in, the forecast potentially 400,000 people this month. Would that change the way that people respond? Because right now it feels like the only time people really get upset about the border is when a situation goes viral. And then the Biden administration solves Del Rio, Texas, by just basically letting a huge percentage of those people into the country. And many people pretend that the situation has been solved.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea because I just don't think people get it. You're right. I mean, and if you've got to change a narrative and provide awareness, the way to do it is through constant and repetitive information that shows and demonstrates the severity of the crisis. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, it doesn't affect me. Well, the increased opioids and fentanyl deaths that are coming across the border, that affects you in your community because they're every place right now. If you go and you talk to folks in the Border Patrol, they're going to tell you the cartels have somebody in every place. Everybody's affected, but you just don't necessarily feel it. And if you don't feel it, then you can't acknowledge the severity of the crisis. And this is a humanitarian crisis. It's a national security crisis. It's a crisis of the rule of law and who we are as American people, which is based on the rule of law. So I love the idea. And, you know, you're right. They cleaned up that 15,000 in about 8 days, but it wasn't 15,000. It was 26,000. And they all, except for about 2,500, have already been dispersed throughout the country.
It's wild.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's a number that, I mean, Congressman Biggs, what was it again? You said it was actually, because 15,000 is what they were all reporting on. You say it's actually 26,000. And the total number of those deported, meaning not let into the U.S., 2,600 out of 26,000?
Something like 2,500, 2,600, they removed or expelled is the better way of saying it. The rest were dispersed throughout the country.
90% got in.
That's amazing. Yeah. And no wonder. I mean, when you look at those numbers, and we're speaking to Congressman Andy Biggs, for anybody joining us from Arizona, knows the border issue, the legal immigration issue very, very well. And I've been speaking to Congressman Biggs about this for years. Congressman, it seems as though obviously, the incentive is in place for more illegal crossing, which is what we're going to see this month. But it also seems like we're living in two different political realities when it comes to illegal immigration. It feels like the Democrats, as long as they don't have what looks like an actual refugee camp on the border, they feel like they won't pay any short-term political consequences. And over the long term, they're bringing in more likely Democrat voters. Is that how you see it? How do we get things to be different from that reality?
Well, that is exactly the right frame of this thing. Because, I mean, last week in one of our committee hearings, I was raising this issue, and others were on my side were raising the issue, and we had a Houston congresswoman sit there and say, the border is sovereign and secure. That's a quote. And this, it could, nothing could be further than the truth. I mean, you can go down there now, be down there again next week. I was down there last week. I mean, you can go down there over and over and over again, like I do, and you're going to see always how porous our border is. And they want this. This, never forget, they campaigned on an open border policy. This is what they campaigned on. This is what they wanted. And, you know, the result is they're going to provide all these benefits, let all these people. The catch and release is up like 400,000% over the previous high ever. This is going to change the political landscape of this country, because sooner or later these people are going to seek for and receive some kind of amnesty. And when they do, the Democrats, they'll be the ones who give it to them, and they'll be the ones hoping to have the votes, because they provided the free entry into the country illegally and the free entry into the citizenship and voting rights by giving amnesty.
Representative Biggs, shifting gears a little bit off the border, you're in Arizona. We had the viral videos of Senator Sinema in your state at Arizona State being chased. Now there's videos of her on an airplane also being confronted and harassed about the political issues. Joe Biden said it's just a part of the process. I know that she is a Democrat. You are a Republican. But what are your thoughts when you see those videos, and what did you think of Joe Biden's response?
Well, Joe Biden's response was weak, as it is on everything, which is why we have such horrific domestic and international policy. So he's weak on everything. He's wrong on everything. But in this instance, it's abhorrent to see these people getting up into Kirsten's face, Senator Sinema's face, while she is in what most people say, that's kind of a zone of privacy. I have had those experiences, oddly enough, and it is really bizarre. And for people to justify this, in my opinion, this is just one more sign that we're moving to a kind of a proto-fascist form of government, where it is okay to try to intimidate someone who disagrees with your position, not intimidate politically and say, oh, we're going to remove you from office. This is one where they're getting up in your face and they're intimidating you physically. And that is something that this country should not tolerate. I mean, it's okay to have divergent opinions. It's okay to express those opinions. It's not okay to basically follow somebody into the restroom and just, you know, berate them, get in their face on planes and in public places. This is absurd. And I'm just afraid this is the bad way we're going. And it's a fascist approach, in my opinion.
Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona. Congressman, always appreciate you coming by. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Clay. Thanks, Buck.
Appreciate you.
If you want to call in, what do you think about the crisis at the border or the latest on... I still want to know how they can try to justify not having better numbers, really any numbers to speak of, in a consolidated form that are easy to access on COVID breakthrough cases. 800-282-2882. We will get to some of the Facebook whistleblower, big tech social media situation coming up in the third hour, as well as more on COVID. So that's coming up. You know about Carnivore Trading, right? It's a unique enough name. This is a group of legendary Wall Street traders who are sharing their stock trading information with you. You know, see, they're not your traders. They don't want to be. They want you to continue using whatever setup and means you have for that. Carnivore Trading has revolutionized how regular folks like us can make money in the stock market by sharing their information as they make their decisions, and then you make the trades yourself. Look, I don't have a lot of time to research stocks and charts. Just tell me what stocks look ready to explode and why, and then let me pull the trigger myself. That's what Carnivore Trading gives me. Carnivore Trading is an elite group of Wall Street traders who are brilliant, and they figured out it's time to democratize stock trading for everyone. Carnivore members receive real-time text alerts of the explosive trades. You can make that trade through your broker or yourself, or you can pass. See what you would have made. Right now, Carnivore invites you to see their explosive real-time trades free for 2 weeks. Go to GetOurTrades.com and use promo code USA. That's GetOurTrades.com, promo code USA. See website for terms and conditions. Past performance not a guarantee of future earnings.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are breaking down all the big stories for you. Top of the next hour, we're going to discuss this Facebook testimony from a whistleblower. And she's already said that what she wants, I know there's some people out there like, oh, she's such a hero. She's already said that what she wants Facebook doing more of is actually censorship. That's her big issue, is Facebook is not censoring enough. And I think we all know how censorship is going to go. Who will end up being the victims more so of censorship? It's conservative thought. It's anything that goes against the corporate hegemony, which is currently ruling everywhere in big tech. So we're going to discuss why that is potentially a big deal. We've talked about a lot. You just heard us talking with Representative Andy Biggs. And you know the world's gone upside down when Republicans have to come out and defend Democrats from being harassed by Democratic voters. But that's where we are ever since Maxine Waters told everybody, get in the face, confront them. And I still think, Buck, and I hope this doesn't happen, but I feel like the way we have set things up is violence comes from this, right? When you tell people that they're in the right and argue that they need to confront people on a physical basis, sooner or later, it leads to violence. We've seen that happen all too often in our politics, and I feel like that is where we are headed.
Yeah, by the way, it wasn't Maxine Waters' idea. She just said it out loud at a time when that was happening a lot, right? I mean, the left has embraced the tactics, and you can go back even to Alinskyite tactics and Rules for Radicals and the approach to community organizing and direct action and making things uncomfortable for people, essentially confronting people and trying to coerce them without breaking the law, but by doing things, although we don't know, it seems, whether there was a law broken in the bathroom situation with cinema. It feels like, because there's a statute, and from what I understand, it's not that clear even in the statute in Arizona, but it certainly feels like that's a violation of privacy and something that should be prohibited. But I do think that we've also tended towards a media apparatus that will make excuses for this stuff as long as it's on the side that they like. I mean, they were not outraged. They were not angry about the people who were shrieking like lunatics at Trump administration officials.
Clay, or Tucker Carlson, or Josh Hawley, who showed up at their homes.
When I lived in D.C., there used to be, and I'm sorry to say it was not for me, but they would gather in a building that I lived in, a mob on Sunday, and they would wear like chicken suits, and they would clang cymbals together, and they had a PA, and they would make all this noise, really trying to intimidate somebody at the residence. It wasn't for me. It was for Stephen Miller, who worked for the president in the White House, and he lived around the corner on the other side of the block. But they thought that he lived in my side of this complex. And so they would gather right under poor old Buck's window, who might have been a little hungover on Sunday. And I'd hear the like,
the
why
worst.
Do you not want amnesty? Why do you not? You know, like, because it was all immigration stuff. And I wouldn't sell out Steven this way. But there was a part of me want to be like, wrong part of the building, you morons. Go to the other side.
Oh, if I was hungover and I was tired and they were screaming and they were waking me up, I might have opened the window and been like, hey, guys, you're in the wrong building. You got bad info. I support you. Even though it's not true, you're just waking up a fellow brother here who's all in favor of open borders and everything else. Hey, when you're hungover and you need sleep, I don't begrudge that at all. Now,
you see this stuff all the time, and they don't condemn it. And I will say, I think I just actually saw a video. I don't even know where it was, somewhere where there are people who seem to be conservatives gathered outside a politician's house. No,
yes.
We don't do that. Don't do that. Knock that crap off. We have other means of making our voices heard and organizing it. We cannot be them on these things. I'm not somebody who says, oh, we only need to police the actions of the right and like let the left know. I want to take the fight to the left, but it makes it a lot harder for all of us to talk about the lunacy that 95 times or 99 times out of 100 comes from their side, just because a few people on our side decide that they're going to mirror the tactics of the left in some political way. It's not a good idea.
spent 6 months with riots all over the country, totally justified and overlooked. One riot involves conservatives, and we've spent months talking about how it's a threat to democracy itself.
Democrats in Congress are going to spend this whole year bringing it up as much as they can, periodically, just injecting it back into the news cycle. That's what they're going
to
do.
I think we've got a call relating to our discussion of the IRS to begin the second hour, Buck. Is that right?
Yes. David in Memphis. What do you got for us, David?
The 10-15 deadline for extension, but I took a little break, and I heard you mention the word loophole. And the thing that bugs me most is we lose the language every day, the conservatives do. We accept the premise of the left, but loophole is the law. There's not like there's some second set of books or some second set of tax rules for people who make more money than other people. I hate the words rich and poor. It's just the same way. It's a stupid.
Right. But I mean, why the tax code? I mean, you know a lot more about the actual tax code than I do, David, no question. But I mean, the tax code is what, 4,000 pages for a reason?
It's ridiculous.
It's because there's a lot of stuff in there that are giveaways to certain people in certain groups.
It's art, not science, right? I mean, that's what a lot of people miss if you're an accountant.
It's where all the power base for the government comes from, is you get lobbyists to bribe, but lobbying sounds better than bribe. You get them to write special laws, and then they act like they're surprised that there's a quote-unquote loophole there. It's the law you guys wrote. You guys supposedly wrote it and read it, and then you act like it's some kind of nefarious thing snuck in the dark of night by some other group. They wrote the law. They voted on the law, and then they go out and pander to people who don't understand it. It's like me looking at a car engine and calling a carburetor a thingamajig, because I'm not a mechanic, so I don't know what it is. So I just put some term to it because I don't understand.
Yeah, I have David do my taxes. David sounds squared away on this stuff. David, thanks for calling in from Memphis.
Here's the truth, Buck. As I've gotten more money and gotten more complicated tax code, I could have 10 different accountants tell me 10 different numbers that I would owe, and they could all have a justifiable basis for it.
Get ready for the IRS on steroids to come knocking at the Travis and Sexton household.
That's definitely going to happen.
We're going to be talking about Facebook, the so-called whistleblower. I'm not buying it. We'll get into it.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.